Yeah, so today I wanted to continue. I may switch next Sunday. I may not, but I really feel strongly impressed to stay on this particular subject of being led by the Spirit of God. I think that if you can begin to develop this in your life, you will miss it less and less and less. You'll get to the place where you won't miss it in the decisions that you have to make. And I think it's so crucial because everyone has hundreds of decisions you have to make a day. You have to make hundreds of choices every day. And those choices can either be, just deciding to get up in the morning, or deciding to whatever. I mean, go to the gym or, whatever you're going to do. But it can also be a decision where you have to make a very life-changing decision. And I find that those kind of decisions are the things that we want to be able to know how to make the right choices. And I think by focusing on this, when we were this past last month, when we had the Life in the Spirit conference, all three speakers landed on different ways to approach life in the spirit, but all of them touched on relationship and your relationship with God by His Spirit. And Jesus was our prime example that He did nothing without hearing or seeing a direction from His Father. And so, I think what Jim Hockaday was sharing when he was there is he said, we get so focused, and don't take this the wrong way, but we get so focused on, we got to read the word, we got to read the word, we got to read the word, we got to confess the word. And all of that is true, but not to the exclusion of fellowship with the Holy Ghost and fellowship with God, because you need His direction on what to feed on, what to meditate on, what to do. And some people are so quick, I'm going to confess this word, I'm going to do this. Look, I feed on the word daily, but I also take time to fellowship. So I think that's the thing that we need to focus on as we end this year and begin a new year, is to take time to fellowship with Him so that you know exactly what you should be doing. And He will give direction as to the choices you need to make. He will what? What's the scripture say? He will bear witness with our spirit. And that only comes through fellowship. I was sharing last week, I said, the way you talk about something exposes your heart. When you talk, it exposes you. You say, well, I got these clothes on, it doesn't expose me. Yeah, but your heart is exposed the way you talk. And I said, when people talk about life and circumstances, you begin to ask the question, what's their relationship like with God? Just based on the way they talk. You can talk, oh, I got a covenant with God, I'm redeemed, and then you talk another way, and you begin to say, huh, wonder what their relationship is like with God. Because if your relation, Jesus never talked that way. He always talked about His relationship with His Father. Now it got the religious people upset because they said, who do you think you are? And He told them. But it's the same thing with us. In life, just think about a natural example. I do sometimes. I'm sitting back and I hear spouses talk about each other and I go like this. Wonder what their relationship is like. Just the way they talk about one another in public. And I'm thinking, what's that relationship like? And so it's the same thing for me. The way you talk about your Father, the way you talk about the Holy Spirit who lives in you, and He's our helper, He's our advocate, He's our intercessor, and you talk like you're defeated, and He's the greater one. Well, it tells me you don't really know Him like you say you do. Because if you really knew Him as the greater one, then you wouldn't talk that way. And I say that to myself. You wouldn't talk that way. If He was really who you say you profess Him to be, then you wouldn't talk that way. And you wouldn't talk that way about your spouse if you really, if there was that kind of relationship, you wouldn't talk that way in public. I remember years ago, Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton, I don't know, maybe they had a beef on the ride into church. I don't know. But she, and this was something that she brought up that happened years prior, but it was something she brought up about their relationship. And they were both cool about discussing it. And she said, you know, I told Clinton this one time, you wouldn't talk to me that way if you were my friend. You wouldn't talk that way to a friend. And he said it hit him like a ton of bricks. He was like, whoa, she's right. If I really truly call her my friend, I wouldn't talk that way to her. And yeah, I mean, people have been here, you right? Deacon Carissa, she used to talk about that. But this was when the early part of their relationship. So they were both cool about talking about it, but they were talking about it as far as their relationship, like, you wouldn't talk that way. Well, if the Holy Spirit is your friend, and He's your helper, and He's your advocate, and He's one called alongside to help, you wouldn't talk that way about Him. You wouldn't. So when we don't know Him to the degree that we should, it should be a desire. I need to know Him better. I need to have a better relationship, right? I mean, it's people do it all the time. They go, you know what? What do people say? We need to work on our relationship, right? In a marriage, look, our relationship's good, but we need to work on it in this area, right? We don't just show up whenever and go, well, you know, whatever. That won't last too long, right? And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We need the purpose in our heart to know Him better. Because when we know Him better, we miss it less. That's just reality. And that ought to just be a desire of our heart. God loves us. I want to know the one that lives in me better. So how do you do that? When you wake up in the morning, you go, good morning, Holy Spirit. I don't feel you. I don't hear you, but I'm just going to say good morning in faith. And I'm having a hard day today. I'm going to talk to you. Guess what? He'll begin to, what you're doing is you're opening yourself up, you're yielding, you're acknowledging Him in your life. See, I mean, I look back in my own life when I cared less about God. I'm running, doing dumb stuff. Man, I look back, there were things that He was trying to get me out of, and I ignored it. But it's the point that He loves us and He wants to have what? A personal relationship with us. And all He's looking for is us to say, like we're singing in that song, yes. Just yes. I give myself away. Yes. And that's all he's looking for. He's just looking for a yielded heart, a heart that wants to know him. And man, he'll just show you, he'll show out. He'll show out in your life. And you know how we go, why didn't I seek him earlier in my life? Because we were dumb. We did. I'll tell you where I was thinking about this morning. In the Passion Translation, I was looking at this in Romans chapter 8, in verse 1. Well, actually, it's in the Passion, Romans chapter 8. Let me just get over there. And we'll just read a few of these verses from the first seven verses here, Romans chapter 8. This is the Passion Translation. I just like the way it reads. It says, "So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life, flowing through the anointing of Jesus, has liberated us from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish, because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Yet God," see, this is what he's saying, "but God," or "yet God, sent us his Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin." It's been broken in our lives. The condemnation, the guilt, the power of it. Now we can yield, but it's been broken. And then it goes on. "So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living his life in us. And we are free to live not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit." Then it goes on. It says, "Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities." What is that saying? I've got to yield to his impulses, right? Then it goes on. "For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot." So what are we all saying? We're just saying that the Holy Spirit wants to have, he wants to interact with us. He's living in us. But he's not a hitchhiker. He wants to have a relationship with us and show us greater things. And he wants to manifest himself in and through us to touch people's lives so that when we go out into society, we are receptacles or containers of the power of God, the light of God, and he can operate through us and manifest his presence and love and goodness through us to people that are just bumping around in life and don't know, you see? And so I think that's the wonderful thing, that we can share his goodness, his life, which is what Jesus did, didn't he? That's what he did. He came here for the purpose of destroying the power of sin and to redeeming mankind, but when they said, "Well, show us the Father," and what did Jesus say? "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." So he was a reflection of God in the earth. And yet, He was sinless, and it says he took on humanity. He operated as a man, right? And then, of course, Philippians, it says he set aside his divine privileges. So he didn't operate as God in the earth. He operated as a man, sinless. Said he was the second Adam. So he took his directions from God. That's what we need to be doing, right? So that we can touch this world with God's love and goodness, but we need to have a relationship with him, a better relationship on how to do that. See? And that's why, you know, we take the time to talk about this and share some thoughts about it. And, you know, just, I know for me, coming out, I was sharing this with Pastor Greg, and I was sharing it recently with a few that I said, you know, coming out of these Life in the Spirit meetings in November, I just had this strong, it's a pull, it's a desire to pray more and to know him more and better. Know him. And I said, the only way you're going to do that is by just taking time, whatever time you have. You know, some people say, well, I don't have time. You don't have time not to, because your life depends on it. You're making choices, and then when you make the bad choice, what do? You're down on your knees going, oh God, please help me. So I've been trying to get your attention so I can help you. So it's best to just find the time. You know, if your day is booked and packed, find time, whatever that is. If it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes, start there. What you're doing is you're acknowledging him. You're saying, God, I want to know you better. I want you to help me today make choices and make the right choices. And that's what you're doing. You're just acknowledging him. You're yielding your heart and start where you are, you know. If you got 5 minutes, take 5 minutes. That's better than none, right? So start there and begin to work on that. And I said, it'll change your life. It'll change you. And I've been saying this. I heard, you know, people have been telling me in Nanuet, they said, you know, this has changed me, because I've told them, I said, before you make a choice, it's the scripture says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. What's verse 6 say? In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's all we're talking about. And he will direct your paths. So what we're talking about here is take the time before you make that choice. Use your understanding. Get the information you need. But when you got to make a choice, just say, Lord, help me make this choice. And he will, we already have the witness. I'll show you why. Let's look at Proverbs 20. I'm going to finish my thought, but look at Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Proverbs 20 and 27. The King James Version says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, that's the way the King James puts it. And then the New International Version, it says, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of man. It searches out his inmost being. Now we're going to look at the Passion Translation of Proverbs 20:27. And I like this verse, this a little better. It says, the spirit God breathed into man is like a living lamp. This is why we want to know the Holy Spirit. He's like a living lamp, a shining light, searching into the innermost chamber of our being. So he lights our spirit. So your spirit knows, you just have to recognize. And he's a witness. He bears witness. It's a co-witness. Your spirit, your conscience, when you do something and it's not right, you go, I shouldn't have done that. You already have a witness. Everybody knows that. Everybody's done something. They go, I shouldn't have done that. And so your spirit is bearing witness. You already know that. It's not in your head, and you know that. It's down in your spirit. And you can have the same kind of witness. It just seems right to do. That's all we're really talking about. When you have to make a choice, if it seems right to do, then move in that direction. If it doesn't seem right, put it down. Hold up. Don't make the choice. That's what we're talking about, acknowledging him. He will bear witness with our spirit as to the choices that we make. But I wanted to look at something today at which will help us in any relationship. You know, let's take a natural relationship, whether it's a friendship or a marriage. You want to keep your conscience clear, right? When your conscience is cluttered up with some stuff, it affects the relationship, doesn't it? When your conscience isn't right, it affects the relationship. It can put up a barrier in a relationship. And it's the same thing. I'm just going to take a look at a few scriptures here. 1 Timothy 1, these are in the Passion translations. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. I like this translation. And this is Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And I like this. It says, for we reach the goal of fulfilling all the commandments when we love others deeply with a pure heart, a clean conscience, and sincere faith. Boy, that is a powerful statement right there. He says, for we reach the goal of fulfilling all the commandments when we love others deeply with a pure heart, a clean conscience, and sincere faith. And this goes on, you know, let me jump down to verse 18. It's really 18 and 19 in the same chapter. This is Paul writing here again. He's saying here in verse 18, this is the Passion Translation. So Timothy, my son, I am entrusting you with this responsibility in keeping with the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life and are now in the process of fulfillment in this great work of ministry. So he's really telling him, these prophecies that were spoken over you are now being fulfilled in this great work that you're doing. In keeping with the prophecy spoken over you, with this encouragement, use your prophecies as weapons as you wage spiritual warfare by faith and with a clean conscience. For there are many who reject these virtues, and are now destitute of faith. I think the King James says, your faith is shipwreck. But this is really talking about, he's telling Timothy, keep a clean conscience. Keep your heart right. It can affect the relationship. And so this is what we're, let me look at another here. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5 in the Passion Translation. Galatians 6 and verse 5 says, every believer is ultimately responsible for his or her own conscience. So we're responsible. Not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your friends. You're responsible for your own conscience. And so I think what I was just wanted to land on today a little bit is just talking about keeping our hearts right. You know, the things that are going on in society, you know, I think Paul talks about it, that, you know, not being affected by man's wisdom, but God's wisdom. And so in society, you see how the devil will cause people to get involved in interactions and discussions that, number one, are carnal, they're not godly, and they're without power. They don't serve a purpose. So we get involved in all kinds of discussions, and you can see how people have been affected by it. You know, the scripture talks about, in Matthew, it talks about kingdom against kingdom, ethnos against ethnos, or tribe against tribe, people against people. We've seen this through ages and ages, where we have people being motivated by the devil to hurt other people. Well, then people get upset, they get mad, they fight one another, right? And they go after one another. We see it in politics. You know, we're people are already geared up and winding up. You know, I say winding up for this next year. They're already gearing up to unload all their junk and their nonsense. They're already doing it. And what does it do? It gets the church involved in something that has no spiritual value, other than we should pray for those who are in authority and pray that they make the right choices so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So, you know, for me, it's okay, when these things come up, I need to guard my heart and guard my conscience, not make sure I tell you what you should be doing on Facebook and telling you, why are you talking about that, or me being a judge and jury. Just pray for people. If they don't see the light, pray for them that they don't get caught up in that. But the devil has distracted the church from things that we should be doing and things that we should be, you know, as far as God is concerned and godly things, spiritual realities. What is a spiritual reality? Getting to know the Holy Spirit better. I mean, when you put it in when you think about it, what does that, I mean, when we pray for people who are in authority, what value does that have, bickering about politics, when there are people who are stuck in life that are dying, that are sick, and have no answers? What value does that have? Zero. None. Pray for those who are in authority, yeah. But the people that need help are looking for an answer. And God has empowered us with the Helper, the Holy Ghost, to help people. And we get sidetracked on stuff. And that's all we're saying here today is keep your heart right, keep it clean. And when you find yourself, you know, getting drawn into that, pull back. Just say, oh, no, no, no. No, I'm not getting involved in that. Holy Spirit, remind me. Help me. He's there to help you. You know, it's like a parent. When your child starts getting off on something, you go, hey, Johnny, don't do that. Now, they can ignore you, right? But you help them. That's what you're there to do. The parent's there to help and raise that child. Well, Holy Spirit's in us to help us not get caught up in things of this earth and world. Yeah, we have responsibilities, we have jobs, we have families, and those things. But he's here to help us. I like this. This is a quote out of a Bible commentator by the name of William Barclay. He said this. He said he was referencing the word comforter because in the scripture, in the Amplified, this word comforter, the Amplified in John 14, 16 and 17, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. See, now this is Jesus is speaking this when he's on the earth. He was their comforter. He was their he was the person there representing the Godhead. So he was their helper. Now he's saying, when I leave, I'm going to send you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. This word comforter in the Greek is parakletos. It means to comfort. And this is what William Barclay said. He describes the Holy Spirit's work in this way. He said, the function of the Holy Spirit is to fill a man with the power and courage which would make him triumphantly cope with life. That's what he does. He empowers us with power and courage to triumphantly cope with life, overcome it. So we don't have to just get by. We can triumph in every area of our life. That's what Joshua 1:8 is telling us. Same thing. But it all boils back to, or all goes back to, having the relationship, enhancing the relationship with the Holy Spirit, taking time with him. Whatever time you can give them, you know what I mean? Just think about it. In the natural, you see, you know, you read about it in the papers, don't you? Celebrities, they go, well, we're going our separate ways. And then they go, well, the reason we're going our separate ways is because I'm doing work on the East Coast and he's doing work on the West Coast and we're not spending much time together. So their relationship was affected. And it's the same thing. If we don't spend time with the Holy Spirit, he's the one who's there to help us cope with the things in life. So when you don't have that relationship developed enough, then you start making bad choices. And he's there to help us, so that he can empower us to make the right choices. And he loves us. So he goes on, and he talks about that, you know, further. But we're not, the church is not comfortless. We're not desolate. He lives in us. And so he is the greater one. And we need to talk like that. Even when we don't feel him, see him, hear him, we need to talk like the word is true, because it is true. And we need to say, he is my helper. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're real to me. And you need to say that in faith, even when he isn't. You need to say, you're real to me today. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for guiding my life. Thank you for, you know, revealing yourself to me. And talk faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God, well, who's Holy Spirit? He's God. He that cometh unto God, the Holy Spirit, must believe that he is, and he, the Holy Spirit, is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. So we need to seek his help and believe that he is, and he will. That's Hebrews 11:6. Just looking at it from this standpoint, right? So he's there to help us. He's here to help us get by in life, overcome life's challenges that we face. And as the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians, don't quench him or stifle him. That's 1 Thessalonians, quench not the Spirit. Don't suppress, the message says, don't suppress the Spirit of God. When he's nudging us, don't say, I don't have time, I got to go. Begin to yield when these little impulses come. Yield to it. That's how I started, with simple things. Because you start with the simple things so you know his voice, you know his ways of how he interacts with you. He may deal with you differently than me. All the same, he's going to bear witness with you. He's going to enlighten your mind with something. He's going to reveal something to you. You'll just know I have to do this. Right? There's a knowing. That's a witness. And so you begin to know him better so that when there are real choices that have to be made, you'll go, I know him. That was him. And that's why a lot of times people are making choices that he's been, you know, just think about it. The people that were in the World Trade Centers in 2001, I believe God nudged every single one of them. We used to have a guy when we were singing in the choir, John Blakely. John played the drums. He was he worked for Bank of New York at that time, and he was in, I forget what tower, he was in Tower 1 or Tower 2, and he said about a week or 2 weeks prior to that, he said, the Holy Ghost said to him, empty your office out. Now, he wasn't being terminated. He worked for him, and the Holy Ghost said, empty your office, and he was like, what? Empty my office? For what? You know, that's a, you know, you got a thought like that. You're like, what? Why? And he did. He emptied his office. Took whatever things he felt needed to be removed, right? And he said the day that happened, that was either a preliminary, you know, it was in the, you know, there was voting going on before the elections, and I guess it was in New York State, and he said he went to come out of his garage and his driveway. Somebody had parked right in front of his driveway, and he's like, ugh, and he's trying to take his child to school, get in to vote, get the PATH train in to come in to get in, blah, 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 and he's behind schedule. And he's like, ugh. And when he got out of the train and got out and he came up into Manhattan out of the PATH, he looked up and the plane was hitting the tower. And he went, Huh. So God is leading. And then we had another girl with us, a lady who was with us, Diana Jones, or Diana Clark at the time. She's Jones now, but she was on staff. And her mom had an operation. And after she left us, she went to work for an investment firm on the 92nd or 95th or 96th floor, whatever it was. That was the floor the plane hit, wiped the whole firm out, gone. And the only people that survived were the people that weren't there. And she said her mom had an operation, and the Holy Ghost said to her, stay home and help your mom for the month. She wasn't there. So I believe God spoke to people, but if you don't have a relationship with him, like it says in 1 John 5:4, says they're not looking for him. They're not even looking for him. So they miss the prompt, the impulse. They miss it. And it could be life or death. But the ones that yielded, you know, we have a lady who's, she's still a member. You know, she's Spanish. She's from Colombia. And she was over helping her mom. Her mom went home to be in heaven. And she was over there for a while, came back. And her brother has a seeing eye dog. He's blind. He was in the towers. And that when they got hit, the dog and him were leading people down the stairwells to get out. I'm telling you, there's story after story we have. God is in the business by his Spirit to help us. If we'll yield, start with those little impulses to do something. Maybe he tells you, see, this is where we ignore it. When he says, change your diet. No, I won't do that. Lose some weight. No, I'm not doing that. Go to the gym. No, get some more sleep. No. And we don't yield. So when you don't yield to that, then you're waiting for the trumpets and the big. No, he's trying to get you in the little things. And when we yield, then you say, oh, that was him. And then you're open to respond to other things, right? I'm just using that as an example. I'm not trying to get on anybody's case about, you know, that particular, but I'm just saying, for me, he's done it. Don't eat that anymore. Well, I like it. Yeah, but he knows something that I don't know, right? And so if I'll just yield, this is what happens with a lot of times. People keep charging, they don't respond, and they have to wait until a doctor tells them, you better change. And they go, okay. Well, he's been trying to get your attention all along. You didn't have to wait to get to that place. He's trying to do what? Help us. Same thing. If you're a parent, yield to the nudges regarding your children. It might not be negative. He might be saying, help your child do this. He has a plan for your children. And he can show you how to develop them, become what he wants them to become. Right? And those are the things that are so exciting to me about having the helper in us, that he can help us wherever we are in life. Wherever. You can be a business owner. You can be a student somewhere. Wherever, he can help us. And isn't it wonderful? It's not restricted to age. You can be 5. You can be 10. He'll help you. He's the helper. He never said, oh, this is only for a certain age group. No, he didn't say that. He said, if you're born again, I'm going to send you another helper. And he's going to help you. So exciting to me. So, praise God. Just wanted to share that. Keep our hearts right. Keep them clear And when we miss it, just fix it. Ask him for his help. Wake up in the morning. Go to bed at night. Just say, thank you, Lord, for helping me today. Ask him for forgiveness when you miss him. Keep your heart right. Keep it clear. Amen. Yeah, I mean, people come to people, you know, in life, you know, we're going through life wherever you are, you know. I know there's times, how many have been somewhere and, you know, you might be shopping, you might be somewhere, and you just have a nudge to do something. Yield and do it. Whatever that is. You don't know what people are struggling with. You don't know what they're going through. He does. Yeah. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you that it's there to edify us, to help us, to comfort us, give us enlightenment, and show us how to live, show us the benefits of our covenant. And we thank you, Father, that because we're in covenant with you, you desire to lead us and guide us by your Spirit. And Father, if we haven't yielded to the degree, we say yes today. We consecrate our lives to you and we consecrate our hearts to you for you to interact with us in a greater way, a greater measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I hope you got a little something out of that. Meditate on it as you're going through your day. Don't get so busy you don't think about him. Don't get so busy that you just stop during the day. Say, Lord, I'm looking for your direction today. I believe you're leading me and guide me how to interact with people, interact with vendors. You know, I mean, we have it here. We have people come up on this property and, you know, they just, you know, they come and they ask questions. You know, so anyways, praise God. Amen. Well, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I think that's the start, right? That you've never asked him to come into your heart. And it's the same way we receive salvation. We believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead. That simple confession of faith provides salvation. He gives us eternal life. But also, you begin to also believe and confess that he's your healer. And you begin to believe that he's and confess that he lives in me. Right? These simple truths, believing and confessing every day as we go through. It doesn't, I think sometimes people don't realize or they forget that just because he lives in me and just because he is my healer doesn't mean I'm not going to walk through some issues in life. I don't mean that. What he's done is he's given us the power of his word and he's given us the helper inside. He's our advocate. He is the one that'll show us how to walk through this and overcome it. He'll empower us. I like what Pastor Mark Hankin says. He said, you got a genius on the inside of you. And he said, if you listen to him, he'll make you smart. So we have a genius. We have the person of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who knows everything. Everything about everything. You can't even think about everything that there is. He knows everything about everything. And he's living on the inside. And we're trying to figure out life. That is dumb. To the highest. When all I need to do is look to him and say, help me make this choice. Huh. I tell you, I'm going to do a better job 24 of looking to him and not, you know, you stay up all night, you know, squeezing your hands, trying to figure out what to do, get a good night's sleep. Let him reveal to you how to make that choice. You live longer. Less stress, right? Amen. Less stress. He never meant us to have stress. He's given us power and love and a sound mind. Sound does not mean stressed. So he's there to help us. Amen. Glory to God. You know, when you look at people, you know, trying to figure out, even you know, sometimes people make choices. People are emotion-led. They're money-led. They're flesh-led. You know, they're soul-led, you know, with their intelligence. They think, I'm going to make this choice because I got all the facts I know. You don't know everything. And people are emotion-led. This just feels right. I'm going this way. Even if it feels right, you still need to ask. Even if it feels right, he may give you a check and say, hold up. You don't know everything. You don't know 10 years out. You don't know 20 years out. This person that you may want to marry, you may think, oh man, the sun don't rise. It just, hey. Exactly. Or whatever it is, right? And he may go, no. Because he may see something 20 years down the road that you don't see. And you think everything's perfect. Right? So that's all we're saying. Whenever you go to make a choice, look to him. He's our helper. Acknowledge him. Glory to God. But let's say this simple prayer. If you're here today and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, let's just say this, you know, and if you've already have, nothing wrong with confessing it. Father God, I thank you for coming and sending Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Thank you that he took my sins and he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead and reconciled to you. And I thank you that you also said, we are also seated in heavenly places with Christ. I thank you that Jesus is now my Lord. He's cleansed me of all my sin and past, and I am now your child. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that simple prayer, just let us know and we'll give you some free information as to who you have become in Christ. Glory to God.